ready. I thought we'd try it that way. I remember my brother James, he would do it every now and then, you know, with his church and at the time. Well, he's just going around right now and visiting around, getting, letting the pastors know and the people know that he's out here and he's trying to get some doors open. I think, you know, they'll open for him. But he just wants us to pray for him, that God will use him in the way that God wants him, wants to use him, that he don't want to get ahead of God. So, all right, let's turn to the book of Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by seven, the male and his female. And of the beast that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by seven, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of this earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And it came to pass, verse 8, excuse me, of clean beast and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, and God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600 years of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day where all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah, and Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, and the son of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah, into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the water was lift up above the earth. And the water prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountain was covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, and in whose nostril was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the message. And Father, we thank you, Father, for the words we just read. Now, Lord, we just pray, God, and Father, that you will give me, Father, what you will allow me to say tonight. Father, because I cannot do it on my own. And Father, I cannot even speak without you speaking through me. And Father, we thank you for the people that come out tonight. Lord Jesus, we pray, Father, each one of our hearts will be opened unto the Word of God, Father. We come tonight to hear something afresh and new from heaven. And we just want to thank you for what you're going to give us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to go back and I want to look at verse 11. In the latter part of verse 11. It says the 17th day of the month, the same day where all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. The windows of heaven was open. I can go back and I can look at what maybe Noah was probably thinking about. Noah was probably thinking about of all the rain that was coming. But one thing about it, God has his covenant. God has given Noah the same thing that he gives us today, to where we know that this earth will never be destroyed by water. And that is the rainbow. And the rainbow has, I think it's 5 or 6 different colors in it. But the rainbow speaks of unity. It speaks of grace, and it speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Lord has for us. So tonight I want to bring you this message on this thought. When the Lord opened the windows of heaven. We know over there in the book of Daniel, and I believe it's chapter 6, chapter 10, one or the other, that Daniel says there, he says, he went upstairs to his upper chamber, and he opened the window toward heaven. And he opened the window towards the east. It does not say anything about the north, the south, or the west, but it says that he opened the window toward heaven. And when we can look at that today, and when we look and when we think about it, we need to keep our eyes focused on the earth, on the east, because that's where The Lord is coming back. That's where the shout is going to be from. It's from the east where he's standing there on the cloud there. And when that trumpet blows, it's going to blow from the east. It's not going to blow from his west. It's not going to blow from his south. It's not going to blow from the north. But it's going to blow from the east. Why? Because see, the east is where Israel is at. East is where the Jews are at. And they are his chosen people. And we must be mindful of that also. We must treat them as the Lord would have us to treat them. But we as Christians sometimes, we will not treat them in the right way. Now, in the last week or two that I've seen, that what's going on around the United States and all the neighborhoods and everything, I mean, it's people are getting murdered. And I'm not prejudiced one bit. But I'll tell you one thing. This thing that they got on going now, where it says that Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. All lives matter. Because God loves them just as he does me and just as he does you. But the police, I heard something this afternoon and I didn't know anything about it. And I think it was Shelby come in and was telling me about it this afternoon. That it was, I think it's 5 or 6 or however how many it was, police officers in the city of Danville has resigned. They have left the force. And I got a feeling the reason for that is because of what's going on. Because they do not have anybody that will back them. They do not have anybody lifting them up and praying for them. But well, that's what the church is here for. That's what we need to do. Because the law enforcement and the fire department and even the EMTs and everything, they go out into places where we would not even go, where I would not even go. And they go where their lives are in danger. And I know this, that it's not politically correct in what I'm saying, but it's just like what somebody else said, and this was a preacher that was on the Fox News, and he says, I am not politically correct. I have the laws of this land with me everywhere I go. And I have the laws of this land that come from the Bible. That's where they got the laws of the land at. It's from the Bible. But yet, now they are changing the laws to suit the criminals. To suit everybody else. It's not for the ones that trying to do better. It's not the ones that care. But you know, I have seen more chief of police and sheriffs on the news speaking about, it's not just the Black Lives Matter, but every life matters. And he said, and I'm supposed to be politically correct also. It's what the government says, but I'm not going to be politically correct because I'm a law enforcement, and I'm going to or stand by what the law says. If they go out and do the time, the crime, then they're going to do the time. And they need to. But the windows of heaven has been opened. And I think God is also opening the windows of heaven upon this world that we are living in, to where we can just look out of the window toward heaven. And we can plead to God and say, God, just help me. Help me to stay with you. Help me to do what you'd asked me to do. You know, we have many, many Baptist preachers, independent Baptist preachers. I'm gonna say that because I is one. But we got too many of the independent, fundamental Baptist church that believes in the King James Bible that will not get up and preach against it. We're not preach about what's going on because it's Bible. It's nothing that I've brought up that's not Bible. That's how this country was founded. It was founded on the Word of God. We don't even have a politician. We don't have a president and no government officials in the White House, in the state house, or in the city of Danville, or even in the county house. We don't have nobody there that knows exactly where it come from and how this country got started. They will say, oh yeah, it got started this way and that way. But I'll tell you one thing. But if you allow the black to speak, one individual they're going to bring up. And they're going to bring up his name every time. That is Martin Luther King. He has not done anything at all for them. The only thing he has done for them, he just brought them out and believing what they're believing. But you know what? I've never heard the president. I've never heard a congressman or a senator or law enforcement or anybody say anything about when they talk about slavery. See, that's the reason they took down the Confederate flag, because of what they think the Confederate flag meant slavery. But it didn't. It's just because of the war that we was in. But they will not come out and tell the truth. Even Martin Luther King didn't. But if they know the truth, if they know history, they'll realize who the first owner was of the slaves. It wasn't the white. It wasn't the white man. It was the black man, the soul, the first slave. But then see, after he done that, then everybody else started doing it. That had these big mansions and everything, and these big plantations and everything. They started going out because they needed help. Well, hey, speaks of that in the Bible. It don't say anything about slavery, but it does speak about it in a different way. What happened?
When they went out and they hired one, or they go ahead and hire 5 or 6, or 10 or 15, to go out and work for a day's wages, which was a penny a day. Then they would go back into town and they see somebody else there standing on the corner. They see somebody else begging for bread. And they said, come on with me. Midday. Had 4 or 5 hours to work. But he received the same wages. He received the same wages. Did you know that we still have slavery that's going on right to now, right here in the United States of America, right here in Danville, Virginia, right here in Ringo? Where they at? Well, if they pay you a salary, or if they give you any money at all, you can look at that as slavery. Because see, they're paying you for your strength. They're paying you for your willpower and your knowledge. Because I ain't seen an owner yet. Do you know of any of the owners that's down there at where you work at, Nancy, that will come in and do the job that you've done? No. When I was in the automotive
as a supervisor there.
Assistant service.
The service manager. And I was assisting him. Tom Bike will never come out. He never did come out down there and write a ticket. He never did go out there and talk to the customer and got over there and seen what was wrong with that vehicle. He didn't do it. He had individuals that he hired to do it. That's slavery. Any way you look at it, it's still slavery. And they want to know that we got to be politically correct. Obama said the same thing the other day, being politically correct. I want to ask him through the TV, do you know what you're saying? Do you know what it means? He don't know what it means. But the windows of heaven has been open. And I think they've been open a long time. But they've been open wide now, to where we can just call out to God. And yes, and we have His Son there also. He's at right hand of God the Father. And not only do we have the Son there, I believe we had the Holy Spirit there also there with Him. Plus the Holy Spirit there here for us also. But see, when a rapture takes place, what's going to happen? The ones that are saved is going home. Who else is going home with us? The Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit's not here, these other people are here. They don't have a chance. Because this, the Holy Spirit convicts them. It's the Holy Spirit that convicted me. It's the Holy Spirit that convicted you. But the windows of heaven, over there in the book of Daniel, And Daniel was talking about that also. And Daniel was also speaking also about the dream that he had. He was talking about the handwriting that he's seen on the wall.
We can see the same handwriting today. We can see the handwriting on the wall. We know what's going to happen. It's going to get worse. And they talking about, say, well, if Donald Trump gets elected, you know, we may be a little better off. And then some of them will say, well, if Hillary Clinton gets elected, we'll be a little better off. No, we're not going to be better off with either one of them. We're not. Because it says over there
in Timothy, 1 Timothy, I think, chapter 3, it speaks about what's going to go on and what's going on today. See, none of this is a surprise to God. Who's going in the White House in November? Who's going to be elected to it? I can tell you exactly who is going to be elected to it. The one that God wants there.
It ain't a thing we can do about it. God's going to put the individual there. I believe that with all my heart.
And the Bible plainly teaches also that a woman should not be over a man when it comes to the point of giving out orders or telling them what to do or something like that. It's wrong. See, some of God's word is staying true. Some of God's word right here, it hadn't changed it at all. It hadn't changed. God still loves me. God still loves you. God still loves that sinner right here in the world. That's all he is. When you speak about God, you speak about love. You speak about L-O-V-E. You speak about the loyalty that he has towards the individuals. Not just the saved individual, but the loyalty that he has in the Word of God, that what he's told us is the truth. And he's not going to go back on it. If he goes back on any of it, then what we need to do, and what I need to do, is go and take this Bible and put it in a trash can. If he changes anything, everything's going to be exactly like he said. It's no surprise to God. And it should not be no surprise to us. If we know anything about God's word, we should know that we're living in the most exciting days of our life. I'm 66 years old, even though that I have went through what problems I'm going through as far as my health, but as far as the Bible says and what the Bible is telling me is, I need to be the most exciting time of my life. I should be bubbling over. Why? Because it's not going to be long. It's not going to be long.
And what did he say?
About the generation. When this generation passed. Which generation is he talking about? He's talking about the generation of today. He's talking about me and you. Why? Because we have seen where Israel has become a state once again.
Back in 1948 in May. And people wanted, they've been wanting to take Israel and destroy Israel ever since. But see, Israel's got one thing over there. They got one, Israel's got one little thing there that the United States don't have, Russia don't have, no other country in the world has. And that's that dome, that golden dome. Pick up anything, any kind of missile, anything. When that missile goes off from Russia or Iran and heads toward Israel, all they've got to do is just push your button. And when they push your button, it zeroes in on the object that they are looking to. But who put that there? That's the golden dome. And I don't believe it's just gold, because every year or two they go out there and paint it. No, I believe it's pure gold from inside out. Every bit of it's gold. Why? Because of God. God has His hands on Israel. God has His hands on every Jewish individual. Because He says, they are My chosen people. So if God said His chosen people, I can go out here and I can spend all the money I want to. And buy all the weapons that I want to. And I can start firing them right now. Toward Israel. For now to next year. But they will still be in the hand of God. The wonders of heaven.
The Bible speaks of wonders a whole lot of time. And the wonders really means a whole lot. What the wonders is to us, the Christian, is our eyesight, is our vision. It says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, I believe it is, and it says, where there is no vision, they will perish. They will perish where there's no vision. You think I want to perish? Do you want to perish? No, I know you don't. You have a vision, and I can probably almost tell you what the vision that you have. The same vision that I have. The vision that I have for this church. For the people that's out here that I call and I've visited and I've talked to about church, about coming to church, just try us, come and visit. That's a vision that can lead me along the way. And I honestly believe, as long as we keep a vision in our heart towards the things of God, God's going to continue to put His hand on Faith Baptist Church. Hey, His hand is not too small to where He cannot put each one of us in the palm of His hands.
Where nobody can come in and destroy us or take us away. Yes, we can get discouraged at times. And I get discouraged at times, especially when you go out here and you invite somebody to come to church. And then they promise you and they say, yeah, I'm gonna try my very best to be there this Sunday. But if I'm not here that Sunday, I'll be there the following Sunday. I've got to the point now that I don't even ask them about coming. And I just tell them, I said, well, you know, visit. I said, but don't promise me you're coming. Because I don't want you to lie to God. That's what people do. They're not lying to me. Because I know what they're going to say. I done had it said too many times. But they do not realize that as far as myself and you that are here and Faith Baptist Church as a whole, we have our best interest in our hands. We're not going out there to really put them down. I don't have to go out there and say, well, you know, I understand, you know, why you ain't in church and everything. They know why they ain't in church. They know why they ain't in church. I don't have to tell them. But what I need to tell them, I need to give them something that they can think about. That they can think about if they just step out and say, Lord, He invited me to church down there several months ago, and I haven't been. But I'm going to go this Sunday. Only thing that I want people to understand, I want them to be happy. I really want them to have the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And it's right there at them. All they've got to do just say, I'm going. And if they say that I'm going, I want to be there Sunday, and if they mean it within their heart, then the Lord would make sure that they are awake next Sunday. The Lord will make sure that they can get dressed. He will make sure that they get here on time. If not, they can just drive up. Hey, I just assumed for them to come up here. I just assumed for them to come up here at 11:30 and not come at all. Hadn't you? But I would love to see them come. And it's not about me. It's not about because I'm the pastor or I like for them to come hear me preach. Because if that's the case, they're going to really be disappointed. They're going to be disappointed. Why? Because I will not have exactly what they need. But they need to come with anticipation and knowing. They come and they're going to leave everything else outside of the door. They coming in and to hear something that they've never heard before. And it may be a message that where nobody got anything out of it. And somebody could come up to me and ask me, say, oh, what did you preach about today? I have no idea. But if they got one little nugget out of it, that's worth it. That's worth it all. That's worth every moment of it. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And Lord, we pray, God, that you'll just help us to keep our eyes on the windows there in heaven. Father, because we know that's where the shout's going to come from. We know, Father, that's where the sound is going to come from, that trumpet. It's going to come there from the east. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that when it does happen, that the people that we've invited to church, the people that we are praying for daily, Lord Jesus, that they will also to be able to hear the trumpet. And hear that beautiful sound. Father, because that sound is going to be for just the church. The individual believer, the lost will never hear it. The only thing the lost will see is maybe all the crashes that's going on. And see where, when the cars crash, there's no one in it. That's the only evidence that they're going to see. They're not going to hear no trumpet. But Father, we're going to be there in heaven. As soon as we hear the trumpet, we're going to be in heaven just like that, I believe. And I thank you for that. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for each one of these dear people that come out each and every service, Father. Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you give them something that they can hold on to that will bring them back each and every service. Father, because I know that it's nothing I can do. But Father, I do pray, Lord, for thy leadership and thy guidance within Faith Baptist Church. And Father, you will always be the center of it. And Father, you will be the one that is the head of it. And Father, that we would follow you wherever you take us. We just want to thank you and we want to love you more today than we ever have before in our life. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.